This episode of the show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook of your choosing by going to audibletrial.com/missspots. Choose from over 180,000 different titles, such as Chris Jericho's latest book, No is a Four-Letter Word. It's even narrated by the man himself. Audiobooks are perfect for the person on the move. Believe me, they're great. Maybe you want a mystery novel or a biography of someone you love. Audible has it all. Plus, it's free to try. If you don't like it, which would be weird, cancel and keep your free audiobook that you downloaded forever. Go try it now at audibletrial.com/missspots. Audible. Listening is the new reading.
All right, Mike. Now it's time to play Professional Wrestling Jeopardy. Mike, please choose a category.
All right. I'm going to go with Wrestling Logic for 200, Alex.
And your answer is, this should happen never, ever, 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 ever in a professional wrestling TV show.
What is having a pay-per-view rematch on the very next TV show?
You got it, Mike. I also, though, would have accepted a pregnancy storyline in professional wrestling.
This and more instances of me calling Kevin Alex coming up on the Miss Spots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the main event.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
So, we had Full Gear this past weekend, the first pay-per-view for All Elite Wrestling that we have seen, and also the first one since they've been on TV. And let's dive into this.
Let's dive in.
I think a good show.
So I have mixed feelings on this show, and mm-hmm. the reason I have mixed feelings is because I had such high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I had sky high expectations.
Scorpio sky high?
Scorpio sky high expectations. Absolutely. I thought we were going to see a couple match of the year candidates. I was just so looking forward to this show. I was so geeked up for it, and it was very good. It was good. It was good to very good. It had very good wrestling action for the most part. It had a couple angles that we got there that are going to progress storylines. Even the stuff with Awesome Kong was storyline related, not wrestling related. I like when they work those things into pay-per-views because I don't think... first of all, WWE rarely does that anymore. This was just a solid, good professional wrestling pay-per-view, and I was expecting something that was transcendent, which is unfair, completely and utterly unfair. And we got some great, great stuff, and I still ended up just not feeling like, oh man, this was the most amazing thing. And so because of that, I felt a little underwhelmed.
I
will say, not fair. Once again, not fair.
Yes, I completely get what you mean there. I think I fell right into that same exact downfall. I probably built up this way too high for what I thought it was going to be and was slightly let down because of that, but that's at no fault of the show. There was good matches. There was good storytelling. And overall, I was satisfied with the show. It was better than most WWE shows that we've had, pay-per-view type shows that we've had in a number of years.
Oh, 100%. And there was very, very good stuff happening on this card. I mean, do you want to talk about a little bit about the card itself?
Yeah.
Do you want to kind of run it down a little bit?
I mean, the Santana, Ortiz, and Young Bucks match kicked off the show, and it was a little slower pace than I would have thought for these four guys, and it might not have been the best match for the kickoff.
Especially for the way the match was worked. Obviously, yeah, it could have been a perfect match for the kickoff, but there was some timing issues there. I didn't think the match flowed really, really well, and I felt similarly to the triple threat match for the tag titles. I thought both of these were going to be bangers, and they were both good, and they both had good action to them. And I am never going to complain about Young Bucks selling a knee injury and good in-ring psychology, mm-hmm, but there was just something about the pacing of the match that felt a little off to me. And both the tag team matches felt like they ended without bringing the crowd to that crescendo. And that felt, it felt like I was wanting more.
Absolutely. Both of those matches seemed like they just ended. And it was like, oh, was not expecting that. I thought there would be more of a buildup to it. As you mentioned, the three-way tag team title match, that one I thought was going to be just an absolute banger of a match. And it was good. But it just, I don't know, it didn't grab me as much as I thought it could have been. I don't know if that was by adding a third team. I really wanted to just see a rematch of SCU and Lucha Brothers.
I can get with you there. And I thought they could have done this. These teams could have put this thing together really, really well. And there was some good high spots in there for sure. But this was another match that just kind of ended. And a lot of SCU matches have been this way, by the way, where I don't feel like the end of the match. There were times during this match I thought that the ending would have been perfect. And then it went on for another 2 minutes and just kind of abruptly ended. So all of this was fine action, and the results are fine for these. I love the fact that the Bucks lost. They don't need those. They're giving a rub to another team. That's important in this situation, especially for us fans that know the behind-the-scenes stuff, which they have not been shy about mentioning on television, by the way.
Yeah.
To know that the elite, the guys that have put this promotion together, are losing. That's fine. That's a good thing. It really goes very much opposed to the way the WWE does business, which is a good thing. But one thing that AEW did during this pay-per-view, and they did a bunch of stuff, by the way, on Dynamite that I was completely against and felt like was WWE all the way, and we'll mm-hmm. get to that. But having the Rock and Roll Express beat up and run off the heels after the match with the Proud and the Powerful and the Young Bucks was WWE bullshit all the way.
Oh, yeah.
I know you wanted to give Ricky Morton, and listen, the fact that the guy did a Tope Suicida and the guy did a Canadian Destroyer, that's impressive for a guy that's almost 70. But don't do it. Don't have old men beat up guys. I don't care if the match is over and they are beaten up and tired. I don't care about any of that. You do not have old stars beat up young stars. It's never good. It's never a good idea. Never. I'm saying never. And I don't like to speak in absolutes, but never. Don't fucking do it. It's terrible. It's terrible for your business. It's terrible for your talent. And it is, anytime I see something that I go, that's WWE, that's never a good thing.
Yeah.
That's always a thing that I go, man, why would they do that? That's what WWE would do. And that's what WWE would do. And I was embarrassed by it.
Yeah, I completely feel that way too. The back half of this card was the one heavy on, I think, the really good matches. I, on the last show, talked about how I wasn't sold on Riho and Emi Sakura. And they put on a hell of a match.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because we watched this together. I still kind of had the feeling that I was like trying to drag that out of you, that Emi Sakura was actually a pretty impressive in-ring performer. But I thought this was very, very well done. I still think Riho moves a little in slow motion from time to time.
Yeah.
But there's a...
I think her selling's weird and robotic at points, too.
I don't have as much of a problem with her selling. I think that she has a likability factor to her, which has gotten her over. And I think in spurts, she looks really, really good. There are points during matches that she looks really, really good.
She has a very stomp-based offense.
most of her offense is stomps. But I really thought that Emi Sakura... Sakura is actually how you pronounce it, I believe.
Yeah.
Sakura. I have to remember that because I'm pronouncing it seven different ways. Sakura. She really carried this match and did some really, really great heel work. And the finish was blazing fast. I mean, they were countering counters all over the place. And I thought it was really, really well done. I am, you know, I have to put on my skeptic hat and look at I have to look at AEW through the lens that they want me to look at AEW, and they want me to look at them as an alternative to WWE. So I'm going to call out when they do the stuff with Ricky Morton. I'm going to call out the stuff they did on Dynamite this week. And I'm going to call out the fact that they're giving people title opportunities that really haven't earned them.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Mm-hmm. This was a good match. It told a good story, but Emi Sakura should have won singles matches to lead up to this for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It should not have been random tag matches here or there and just kind of thrown together. Tell a better story, guys. There's time on TV. Tell a better story. Don't just throw people in on these matches. Let's make these wins and losses matter. It takes a lot of time and energy. It takes in a level of talent that I certainly don't have to book those things in advance, but they've got to be better than that if they really want to make themselves the alternative promotion.
Yes, because I feel like wasn't the first time we saw her in that tag match where she beat Riho and she was already announced as the... Or was she in a tag match with Riho the week before?
I believe we saw her twice before, I think. And the match was not announced till after she pinned Riho. So, yeah, I just...
Oh, it wasn't? I thought it was announced before that.
I thought it was, I could be wrong. You're probably right now that I'm thinking about it. But, yes, I don't think that they laid the groundwork well enough beforehand. And listen, they had the respect angle afterwards. I thought all of it worked. I just thought that the buildup did not give us what we deserved as fans looking at this promotion as a results-based promotion. Mm-hmm. Because this was a performer that we didn't know a lot about, and they kind of rushed the story.
Yeah. I see that.
I would have been a big fan, by the way. We had Riho beating Nyla Rose for the original to get the championship. Mm-hmm. They could have used Full Gear because it was not too far off. They could have kept that going and kept Nyla Rose out there with Riho, kept that feud going, have Riho beat her again, then build Emi Sakura for the next pay-per-view. That would have been a great option too. So
I wonder if because she has her own promotion in Japan. They talked about that at length and her school. I wonder if she's only had a small window of time to be in the U.S. and they had to like fast track this very quickly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of moving parts here, obviously, and not everything can be done perfectly, but... Listen, if I'm going to be critical of the WWE, and boy am I got to be critical of AEW, even though I enjoy the product more.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't get a pass. The championship, the AEW World Championship match with Jericho and Cody, I mean, we thought that this match could have been completely derailed with the botched dive by Cody that saw him face plant the stage, the elevated stage, by the way. Love that. Absolutely love that. I haven't seen the fully elevated stage to the apron in I don't know how long. But big gash on Cody's forehead for that one. Still managed to do a 30-minute match. And then we got the storyline afterwards with MJF turning on Cody.
Yeah, all of this. First, let me talk about the elevated stage and the set and the unique set to Full Gear. Loved all of it. I also love the fact that everything about the set looked, some of it looked a little bit cheesy. Just the gears kind of stuck in places. It didn't look slick and overproduced. It looked a little more raw and a little bit more simple. I liked it. I enjoyed that aspect of it. I loved the elevated ramp. I thought that was, it was a great spot. It's another way to differentiate yourself from the other products. So across the board, great with that. This was not the match that I really hoped it would be, but it was a very good match. Kudos to Cody for sticking that thing out and doing the fact that he was able to continue to perform at a high level through that match after smacking his face into the ground and having that gash over his eye is incredible. And overall, probably best for business, probably best for storylines. The idea of Cody and MJF is very, very intriguing to me. So, yeah, this was good. It was good. I was in that. I was after the promo from Cody last week. I just wanted to see him win the title. I know it's too early. I know it's all that. But I was just so excited for it, and I thought that it would have been such a great moment. So not seeing that was a little bit of a disappointment. But the angle afterwards hopefully sets up some really good stuff for down the road. So it was a positive overall, but really disappointing for me in the moment.
Yeah. And you know, I'm now, after watching Dynamite this week, I am reminded of something that I said to you when we were watching this card. And I said, all right, MJF turns. He somehow becomes the champion and uses that against Cody as to, like, you can't fight me. And being the chicken shit heel and finding a way to not have to fight Cody because I'm the champ. You can't challenge for my title. And I feel like that may have been planted on Dynamite with the interaction between Jericho and MJF, although coming together towards the end, they tease some issues between the two big egos.
Yeah, that's true. And I thought a little bit of some of that stuff was contrived, but let's finish up with the rest of Full Gear before we get into that.
And then the end of the show was with the lights out match between Moxley and Omega that was just weapon heavy, violent, bloody. I felt like you looked uncomfortable watching it at points.
I don't love this style of wrestling. I want to know that two guys are working together to put on an incredible show. I think that when I see stuff that is hard-hitting and looks physical, I'm impressed by it, and I want to see that, but I also want to know that these guys are okay. Mm-hmm. And when I see stuff that just seems brutal and uncomfortable, I tune out a little bit. I was impressed by the physicality. I was impressed by these guys' ability and willingness to go all out and do what they did. But it was, if there is tons of talk about this style of match, and I guess there's a lot of back and forth with people all over the place about the validity and the quality of this match, I'm on the side of, I want to see this few and far between. And I didn't enjoy the contrived and put together stuff as much as I believe other people did.
I liked the match, but could have done without a few of the. I didn't need mousetraps, albeit it seems like one of the more pedestrian spots in the match because it didn't really cause as much blood as other parts. It just looked corny to me, and it's the glass at first seemed very scary, but by the end, it seemed to be the filler for thumbtacks in there.
My thoughts were that was not real glass.
Some people are
convinced
that
it was. I don't think it was real glass.
But I thought it was a fun match. It was probably about 15 minutes too long. This match went nearly 40 minutes. And yeah, I think cut 15 minutes off of that. Cut out some of those other spots. I said this before with, I think it was Brock and Undertaker where they tore up the ring. That I loved that at that point. And I thought that it was fine in this match too, to expose the boards and have the match finish doing that. It is a little weird that of all the things, it's a piece of wood that puts a person down with an impact move, as opposed to like barbed wire, glass, mouse traps, all those other things that were involved. But I thought it was a fine match for what it was. I think a little rushed because this whole feud, for people who just started watching on TV, seemed very just like we came into the TV show with them in the middle of a feud. Like, that wasn't the very first show that Mox put Omega through a glass table.
That was the first show, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, wow, things escalated quickly in this feud. And I think that's a thing that's probably on us too, because this promotion has existed for a few months before the TV show came about, and they had a few shows on pay-per-view. So we could have probably done better with catching up on some of the storylines. And we've talked about how commentary does a pretty good job of refreshing people on those things. But these types of matches, fewer and far between would be best.
One of my big problems, Mike, is that I'm one of those people where when I see a giant piece of plywood with mouse traps tacked into them.
And 50 to 60 of them, by the way, according to Excalibur.
10,000 of them. All I can think about immediately is Jon Moxley getting to the arena early, getting all his stuff put together, running down to the Home Depot, buying some mouse traps, buying some giant pieces of particle board, putting it all together, setting the traps meticulously. When I see these really contrived put together things, I tend to go to that next logical step of someone had to put this together. When Omega calls for the Bucks to bring out the barbed wire contraption, I'm just picturing them Etsying, like going through and putting this whole thing
together.
You
mean it wasn't divine intervention that those things just happened to be in Baltimore? Right. I wouldn't put it past Baltimore.
And I know that's looking too far into it, but that's where my mind goes immediately, and that's what takes me out of it. When you see a kendo stick at a table under the ring, you're like, yeah, well, of course, they have kendo sticks under there. It's stupid, but fine. But when you have these kind of elaborate things going on, when Omega pulled out the glass, and that was the glass from the table that was broken, okay, I'm into that. You threw some glass in a bag and you brought it along because you want to punish a guy. That, I thought, was actually a pretty cool idea. But the mouse traps, not as much.
Yeah. What grade do you give this pay-per-view?
Yeah, I give this pay-per-view a B. I think it was...
Exact same for me.
I think it was good. And, you know, the one thing we did not talk about, and we can talk about this a little more, but Hangman Page and Pac... Pack, I'm sorry, I always do that, might have been the best match of the night.
Yeah.
As far as straight wrestling matches go, it was good. It was very good. And I thought Hangman Page going over was a very good step in the right direction for that character. And of course, they 50-50'd that son of a bitch on Wednesday night. Those bastards. Why are they doing this to me?
Yeah, I don't know. You want to talk about Dynamite, or do you want to get WWE stuff out of the way?
I didn't watch Raw.
Oh, you did it.
I did not watch Raw. Good for you. I mean, it was the best Monday I've had in a long time. I think I've decided I might not watch WWE until after Survivor Series because I hate this stuff so much.
Yeah, it was.
But you're welcome. If you have anything you want to talk about with Raw, please go ahead. Don't be held back by me.
It wasn't a good show. We had the dumb Lana, Bob Lash, Rusev storyline still going on, and like people are just like shitting all over this, and even the TV show that they have now, what's it called, Backstage, mm-hmm. like the who is it? Booker T, Samoa Joe, and someone else that was on it. Renee liked it, but it was like the three other people were like, this is bad. Like, this is really bad. And like, they're WWE employees that are trashing this storyline.
Well, I read the spoilers, right? Because this was a taped show.
Yeah.
And this is, and by the way, this is the first episode of Raw I did not watch in 5 years, something like that, four years. I am a completionist. I watch everything, and I actually feel bad when I don't watch something. And when I don't watch it live, I will go back and watch it. And I read the spoilers for this, and I said, not interested. Nothing about this show interested me at all. And I've read some really interesting stuff online about how the NXT part of this invasion storyline is making this much must-see TV.
No.
And it's the first episode of Raw I have not watched in 5 years because I have no interest in it. This invasion is nothing. It means nothing and will mean nothing forever and ever and ever. So that's not a hook that I care about. The Bob Lash and Lana stuff is literal garbage. There's just nothing here. I mean, apparently Eric Rowan has a rodent or some kind of thing in a cage. I mean, what
he,
are
he
you
He has a cage
thinking?
That has a burlap bag over it. And I tweeted out, $10 says WWE doesn't even know what's in that cage yet because they're just booking on the fly.
And I did not watch this, so I might not be the right person to talk about it, but Eric Rowan was catapulted from being the goon that takes pins for Daniel Bryan to a main event guy. If you're working with Roman Reigns, you're a main event guy.
Yeah.
Right? Catapulted. And you look back just like the 10,000 times over the last decade that you look back and go, well, WWE must have a plan if they're going to put this guy in this spot and we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. They had no plan for Eric Rowan. They had no plan for what they were going to do afterwards. They threw him back with Luke Harper and then split that up again. And now he's got a rodent or a very small dog. I don't know what's in this cage. And like you said, they probably don't know either. They had no plan. It means nothing. Rowan is nothing. He's just a guy. And every time someone goes, well, give them the benefit of the doubt. They've got a plan for this. No, they don't. What have they done in decades to show you that they have a plan for any of this? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, yeah, I don't have any interest in this.
The benefit of the doubt. We know that they're going to fuck up.
I have no interest in a bunch of yahoos getting together to fight an NXT UK faction that's an actual faction that works together, and they lose a match to a bunch of thrown together superstars. No interest in that. No, garbage, bullshit. Bullshit, absolute. There's no reason for this.
And I was when I was reading about the results, I was like, oh, Seth and Walter, that's a match I want to see. And then they really didn't even give it any time before they went with the fucking Teddy Long special on this with fucking Street Profits and Kevin Owens thrown in there.
It's just nothing. It's nothing that I want to watch. And the ratings reflected it. People were not interested in this. You, obviously someone that I respect your opinion, are reflecting that that idea. And I miss nothing. And normally I'd feel bad about not watching this show, but I felt really good about not watching this show.
I feel like I shouldn't have watched it really either. That was 3 hours of my life I won't get back.
Yep.
A thing of note that I read about SmackDown, because I continue to not watch SmackDown, is that the Revival lost the tag team titles to the New Day.
This is a perfect example of why watch SmackDown. The Revival were just given these titles recently. They had done nothing with them. And then they hotshot the titles on a random episode of SmackDown to the New Day. Just because they're the New Day, I don't get any of this. There's nothing here. There's nothing interesting to watch.
I was looking forward, really, to the triple threat tag team match with all the champions at Survivor Series, because it's all former NXT champions, including the current ones. Like, I want to see War Raiders and Revival and Undisputed Era go at it. Yeah, it's still going to be a good match because Kofi and Big E are fucking good. But I personally like the idea of having all these former NXT champions going at it.
I guarantee you that the reason why they put this together was because New Day are more of a draw. And, well, they booked themselves in a corner with this stupid Survivor Series content. So they've got to get the titles off the Revival to get somebody that's a little more palatable and mainstream into this match. Yeah. Those that are saying that Survivor Series is like this really exciting thing to see all these people come together, all I can say is why. I don't see why the New Day fighting the Vikings, fighting the Undisputed Era, is exciting. Because all of them are talented? Okay, cool. Why are they fighting? Oh, for no reason whatsoever. Why is that exciting?
It's just exhibition matches, really.
Yeah. Why is that something you want to see? I don't get it. I don't really have any interest in seeing AJ Styles versus Roderick Strong versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Why? Why are they fighting? For what reason? For what purpose? Just having a match to have a match is not what I watch professional wrestling for. Period. And nothing about this build is exciting to me, except for Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler, and you got to have Bayley thrown in with that too.
Yeah. I think that's really it for WWE stuff that I can recall.
Wonderful. Less WWE stuff, the better for me. But listen, this week, Dynamite was WWE. I mean, we had three big no-nos for me. Actually, four when you look at the finish of the main event. It might have been a week ago, it might have been 2 weeks ago, I said that the WWE specifically needs to have a dedicated person just to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue with that, and I'm gonna say AEW probably needs the same person, maybe a different person, but within the same role. Why are Jericho and Sammy Guevara getting a title shot? Why? You've got a ranking system. These guys aren't even a tag team. What are you thinking?
You have a tag team in that faction who just beat the Young Bucks.
Even better. Yes, of course. Why? Why are they getting a title shot? You've never explained it. You've got a ranking system that just came out. None of it makes sense. Stop it. Don't do that. Why are Pac and Hangman Page fighting again after they just had their match at the pay-per-view? Why? And why, by the way, did Pac go over and just negate the entire pay-per-view? That is WWE special all the way. That's WWE booking 101. They have to know that's the case, and that fans will receive it as so. And why is Moxley wrestling 4 days after what we are looking at as one of the most brutal matches that we've seen on television in forever?
Yeah.
Why is he not selling a second of his brutal injuries?
If Omega can sell it with a really terribly made up black eye, then so can he. Like, I don't know if they're just afraid of not having star power on the show because Omega's not wrestling, Cody wasn't wrestling, the Young Bucks weren't wrestling, so they felt like we can't just have Moxley not wrestle on this card too.
Well, you know, I fixed it for you. He doesn't have to wrestle. He wrestled a jobber in a squash match. Just, you want to have him on the show, have him come out limping, bandage, but still badass in victory, and give the exact same promo that he gave after his match. Everything's good. It's perfect. It's framed. It's up on the wall. You love it. It's everything that we're talking about in great professional wrestling. But to have him come out, bounce around, and no-sell everything that happened 4 days ago and pretend like it didn't happen is a detriment to everything they did on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and it's bad. It's WWE stuff. Seth Rollins goes out in Hell in a Cell with Bray Wyatt and apparently something that will change his life forever, fights the next night on Raw. Moxley should not have fought this week. I don't even care if it's an enhancement talent. He should not have fought anybody. He should not have fought anybody. But giving that speech that then Darby Allin can come out and respond to, totally fine with that. Loved that aspect of the show. Darby Allin, short and sweet, I accept your challenge. Perfect. Pitch perfect. Mm-hmm. But you didn't need that match from Moxley to push that forward in any way, shape, or form.
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, this was a good Dynamite show in the fact that we had squash matches for Nyla Rose. I think that was fine. We had a decent little match with the Dark Order and Jurassic Express that got Luchasaurus on the card and exposed the TV audience. All good with that. The guy looks like a specimen. Happy to see it. I love the Darby Allin stuff with him, as I just said, taking up Moxley's challenge. I loved everything with Jericho and MJF.
Yeah.
Those guys sparring back and forth on the microphone. MJF as a straight star comes off as unscripted, spontaneous, and fun. Jericho and him going back and forth was dynamite. It was awesome. Cody coming out with no music. Always love when someone comes out with no music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It just seems more realistic. But then to have, is it Warlow?
Is that I couldn't really get the, you know what? I can probably look this up.
Because this is a guy who they have been teasing a little bit. They did a video package for this guy on Dynamite a week or so ago. He's an independent guy. I believe it's Warlow is the name of the character. But so you've got Jericho still obviously some beef with Cody. You've got MJF, straight beef with Cody, the most beef with Cody. And then you've got this maybe alliance that we just saw where did MJF just join the Inner Circle? I feel like he did.
It seemed like it.
And then another guy comes out and beats up Cody. Seemed like a little contrived. Seemed like too many chefs, right? Too much, overbooked. I get that they want to introduce this guy who is massive and apparently a guy that they're very high on, but at the same time, it seemed like a little much to me.
Wardlow? Yeah.
There's a D in there, Wardlow?
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought it was a little much and probably not necessary with what we've already seen. I mean, Jericho and MJF beating down Cody works perfectly.
Yeah.
And to have another person come in and throw him in there, I'm just the Inner Circle doesn't need two new members. We don't need to recreate the NWO in the first 7 weeks of AEW. So I thought that was a little bit much, personally. The Paige and Pac 50-50 stuff, not a fan. Just not a fan. If you're going to book a pay-per-view match, just make it the frickin' pay-per-view match. If you wanted Pac to go over in the way that he went over on Dynamite, just do it on the pay-per-view.
It's always one of the things that just boggles my mind so much is why they do that. Well, like, why any promotion will do that? Because it's almost like a slap in the face to your pay-per-view viewers, especially the ones who are there live to see it. You think that you're getting maybe a blow-off or something, and that what they just saw was special and means something to the whole story of wrestling that's going on, and then the very next show to be like, oh, they're doing it again, and it's the opposite result. So it just kind of erased what I paid good money and saw.
And there's nothing wrong with continuing a feud. I think the way they continued the feud with Proud and Powerful and the Young Bucks was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with continuing a feud. Not every pay-per-view has to end a feud. Not every pay-per-view has to be a blow-off. But Paige and Pac felt like a blow-off. They had already wrestled before. They have all this history. They set this up to be the blow-off of this. And by the way, rightly so. Both these guys deserved a win. Both these guys could challenge for the championship. Both these guys are important dudes. So having Pac lose this match was a big deal. And Paige, it should have been a big deal for him, especially when wins and losses matter. But then just to have to turn around and do it in the opposite direction seems like you're running in place. It seems like you don't have a plan. It seems like you don't know what's going to happen next. And are we going to now get another match for these guys? I'm less interested in this now. I'm less interested in both these guys now because you did this. And I'm a person who is really, really liking your product and really trying to invest in it. And I was very disappointed the match was even announced, let alone the finish of the match. Very, very disappointed with that. And very, very disappointed, obviously, with the main event, because I didn't think it should have been booked in the first place. Chris Jericho, the AEW champion, is pinned. What are you doing?
That was his first loss that he's taken in the company.
I don't understand. Did Vince McMahon book AEW this week?
I'm wondering if they're going to play this as now Scorpio Sky is going to be the next challenger.
But he's a tag champion. That's the thing. That's another thing that Vince McMahon would do. You have to build stories together. You have to utilize your tag team division to push your tag team division and your world championship to push the people up in the upper card. And yes, Scorpio Sky is a talented guy. I'm not saying that would be a terrible idea, but get the title off of him. If they wanted to do that, put the titles on the Lucha Brothers on Sunday, and have a pointless tag match if you want to with SCU and Guevara and Jericho. I just don't get why you have to have this crossover with champions. I don't know why champions have to be pinned so often on television across all promotions. It doesn't work. Keep your champions. Don't let them be pinned. This is the second week in a row we've seen a champion pinned in a pointless tag match. And whether or not this was for the title or not, it was a pointless tag match. It was a thrown together, contrived idea to put together a main event. And I would have rather seen a freaking intense, awesome match with SCU and another tag team than I would have seen this.
That I would agree with that. It is just boggling. Like, they just announced these rankings last week, and immediately kind of go against them. Like, what's the point of them then if you're just going to create weird scenarios with makeshift teams challenging for the titles?
Well, it was a year ago, or maybe even less than that, when SmackDown was going to do this ranking system, and that was going to be a thing.
What did that last, 2 weeks?
I'm telling you, this is WWE stuff. Why are you doing this to us? You've given us really, really good television so far. You've given us logical booking so far. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you're starting to book this thing like a WWE product. Like, we don't, like, you don't care, and you expect that we don't. And
yeah,
that I expect more. I really expect more out of what I've seen so far, out of the better production. Everything about AEW I'm enjoying more than WWE. And by the way, even though I'm very frustrated with several aspects of the Dynamite show, I still watched the entire show and enjoyed aspects of it. But it's not going to keep my attention if you do this every week. It's just not.
Yeah.
This is my least favorite episode of Dynamite so far. Easily my least favorite episode of Dynamite. There were some highs, there were some lows, obviously. But if you're going to say you are the alternative, then be the alternative and don't be the status quo. And this was a status quo episode across the board.
Mm-hmm. What about moving on from AEW?
I knew you were going to talk about this because this is that's your boy.
Yeah,
Punk is your boy.
Yeah.
I have not had. Did you watch the segment on backstage?
It was just him coming out because it was the end of the show.
He didn't talk at all.
No, I believe it was just to be a cliffhanger for the next
At
episode.
Some point, he did say he would be there next week.
I
at least read that.
I didn't see that part. But yeah, it was the last segment of the show in order to hype him being, I guess, a new... Yeah, I don't know if it's for him to be a new co-host or if it's just a guest spot for next week.
Yeah, it's hard for me to really be able to gauge this.
Remember when you said you didn't think it was going to happen like 4 weeks ago?
I didn't think he was going to be part of the backstage thing.
Yeah, you were like, he's
not. I didn't think it was going to happen. 100%, I was wrong. I'm not sure that he's going to be a regular part of that show, and how much of that was a reaction by WWE and the powers that be at Fox to go, this ain't working so far. Ratings aren't great, and people aren't all that interested in what we're doing. We need something to shake things up. I'm not that interested in CM Punk being a guest commentator on a show that I will never watch. If they want to bring CM Punk into WWE and make him a performer again, if he wants to, obviously that's a big part of it, that would be interesting. That would get my attention. Yeah. But I'm not sure, and going back to something we always say, I have no trust that anything good would come of it.
Most likely not. I mean... Yes, I do want to see it as much as the next Punk fan, but fucking A. Like, I have little faith in their ability to book him at this point. They can't book anyone. They had their huge baby face at the beginning of the year, Seth, who is now not even... of a minuscule amount of what he used to be. He is dead. Like, they've killed his character so badly. Like, do I want to see them do that to, or something like that to CM Punk? I don't know if they would, but like, apparently he would, the only way he'd come back is to have like the Brock Lesnar type of schedule. So doing stuff like that, they might not be able to have the ability to completely screw him up, but yeah. I'm excited to see him involved with wrestling again, even if it's for a short time period. It'll just be nice to like be able to catch little video clips of him talking wrestling on a WWE program. Because like you said, I'm not going to watch it live, but it'll just be nice to see him involved again. If it turns into a few matches, I'll be even happier. But we'll see.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see what they have to offer, but I don't have high hopes. That's just at the end of the day. I would much rather see, if he's interested in wrestling again, I'd rather see him in AEW than I would see him in the WWE.
Yeah.
I just have no confidence in the WWE, and I have very, even, one of the things I've always thought about with not watching the show is that there are these characters that I really am invested in, a few, and I want to be able to watch their progression and be a part of that, and it's got to a point where I just have no interest in them either anymore. So how much am I going to be able to be invested in CM Punk if he were to come back? I don't know. Because it's not going to be well done. It's not going to be well executed. There's not going to be great back and forth in-ring promos like we got with MJF and Jericho this week on AEW. With all the other bad things going on in AEW, that was a great moment with great energy that felt like it was real and fun.
Yeah.
We're never going to get that in WWE. So
no.
What am I holding out for when it comes to that promotion? I don't think much. You know, you and I live in Florida. That's something we've talked about in the podcast before. WrestleMania is in Florida coming up in Tampa. We could make that drive to Tampa. I have no interest in it. I don't want to go. The last time WrestleMania was near us in Orlando, we spent the money, went to all the shows, and this year, neither one of us has said, hey, man, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Because
because tickets went on sale like last week.
And this is something that you and I would normally be all about. And neither one of us has had any interest in going. And there's tons of people going, and they're going to sell out, and they're going to do their thing, and they're going to make their money. Fine. Good for them.
Oh, yeah.
But two fans right here just have no interest in traveling 3.5 hours northwest to go into a town that we know very, very well. We could hit some great breweries while we're over there if we wanted to, but we have no interest in it. What does that tell you about our feelings about the product? Not good.
Yeah. I would be potentially interested in going just for the weekend and going to the NXT show. But like then Sunday driving home and just watching the Mania with you at one of our houses, because it's that was just a killer last time we went to it. It was a long ass day, and it took 2 hours to get back to our hotel afterward. I would not want to do that ever again. But yeah, really, that is crazy to think. What does that say? And honestly, my fiance was like, "Oh, it's in Tampa. Are you guys gonna go?" I'm like, "We haven't even talked about it. I don't know if we want to."
Yeah, just not into it.
Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap things up here? All right. Well, thanks everyone once again for joining us. Make sure that you follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Spots. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. You can listen to this podcast in one of many different wonderful fashions, whichever suits your needs, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, or simply MissSpots.com. We're also on any of the major streaming podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, any of those. You can subscribe to the show and get brand new episodes delivered to the device of your choice every Friday, free of charge. For Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll catch you next week. Good night. Good wrestling.